Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Good Friday morning, everybody. Hey. Hope your weekend is going to be a great one. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be hot. There's some beaches that are open key. There's some stuff that can get done for the first time in a while, LZ. It is going to be a good one.
Yeah, it is going to be a good one. But hold on one second. I think Chris is fudging some stuff there about me picking the Rams and them going to the Super Bowl in Marcellus Race. That was Sean McVay's first year. That wasn't the Super Bowl year.
No,
it wasn't.
I have to think about this.
Marcellus was already gone to the other network.
No.
What other network?
Yeah, no. Key's right.
Yeah, nice try, yeah. Morales. And nice He's try, right. Raj. Talking about, yeah.
It was the it was the summer before. Yeah, and they did well.
No. They went to the playoffs that year. Boy, who do you think you – don't try to – see, y'all be trying to – that's all right. I got
some. What did you say, y'all?
Not you. Raj and Morales trying to put that together, and he's sitting there, Raj, co-signing. Yeah, ha-ha. You don't hear him in the background. It got it so wrong trying to convince the listeners of something totally different. Come on, man. You're not going to pull that one over me.
Speaking of editing. Speaking of ancient history, you guys ready for a This Day in Sports?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is one, and I know that it's put up there as one of the iconic moments. I just don't get it, because if you know the details of this story, it's kind of uninspiring. You know what happened on May 8th, 1970?
No, Jesus. I don't. But you're
no, I have no idea.
Willis Reed's game where he comes out and plays.
Yes.
Today is the day of the Willis Reed game where game 7 NBA Finals and everybody, oh my gosh, he comes out. Nobody thought he was going to play. The dude played like 4 minutes in the whole game.
In the history of sports, there is no greater branding than rolling out the clip of him coming out the tunnel like he won the game for them. There's no better branding.
Give him nothing, though, right?
No, like we celebrate Kirk Gibson like he hit a home run that won the World Series, and it was
well,
like
it did. One. But no, did. I'm gonna push back on that.
But at least he did something.
No, it didn't win the World Series. It was game one, and it gave us the momentum.
It was game one.
But it gave us the momentum to turn it around because
what they want to tell you is that Willis Reed just coming up the tunnel inspired the Knicks to a championship. So that's how they sell it. Just the fact that he was willing to come out there and try inspired them to play harder and win the chip.
It's the greatest sell job of all time. He's like Willis Reed coming out there. It's like, dude, played 4 minutes. What are we talking about here? Good for him. I mean, he's been able to probably dine out on that for a very, very long time. NFL schedule released yesterday. Key, when you were playing in the league and the schedule would come out, were you looking at the games? Were you looking at the cities? Were you looking at where the bye week is? What were you kind of – when you would get it for the first time, what's the first thing you'd look for?
I would look at the games and then the city. But I got to be real careful because I got people upstairs about the city. You look at the schedule and you look at the games, but you look at the city. And then as you start to, massage the city, you start to look at the city. That's what you do. You look at the city. You say to yourself, you go, okay, we getting ready to go out west. Okay, so we going to San Fran. That's cool. My family can drive up. My family can come. I'll get to see the kids, whatever the case may be. And you do that. You say, okay, I'm going to Miami. What day we get to Miami? Okay, that's a night game. So we gonna get in there. We probably gonna get there 2 days early. You start to look at the coaches. You start to think too, okay, who on that staff? Like you look at the defensive backs, and you start saying to yourself, who on that staff? Okay, I can't stand him. And you start planting stuff in
So
your
you
head.
So you're looking to settle scores even before the season starts.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. I couldn't wait to get the schedule to settle scores because I'm gonna put the thing by my locker. And I'm going to check boxes, X's, we're going to get this one, we're going to get this one, we might drop that one, we're going to get this one, we're going to get this one, we might drop that one. Dang, it's going to be cold, man. I'm going to have to get a mink coat. Okay, get that one. So you start going, you start even putting your wardrobes together in your mind. No, seriously, you start putting your wardrobes together in your mind based on the city that you're going in. When I'm going to Miami, I need to get some linen. I need maybe some tan. I don't really wear no aqua colors and all them weird colors. So I just want to get some, I'm going to get some seersucker shorts.
I kind of like to see that.
I'm going to get some seersucker shorts and some flip-flops with a light linen shirt. And make sure I got my Louis Vuitton bag ready to go and glasses. Okay, I'm set for Miami. Damn, we're going to Buffalo. It's cold. I'm gonna go buy a mink when we get off. I'm gonna go get me a mink coat, man. Yeah. So you just start. That's how you start putting it together. And I bet you, if you ask a lot of the players, they gonna come with the same thing. Maybe this generation, they think a little bit different. But we,
you know, it's funny, Key. You know what you haven't mentioned, and I watched a whole bunch of ESPN's coverage yesterday about the schedule. I watched a bunch of the NFL Network's coverage about the schedule. That we talk, media members mention this a lot, but I haven't heard very many players mention it, is where the bye week falls. Is that not important? I would think that, considering the physical toll that you're paying to play, I would think, okay, when do I get a week to get right?
How many times have I said to y'all since I've been working with y'all, the bye week ain't that crucial? Because you still doing stuff. You still doing football acclimated things. The only time that the bye week was cool is when we had, like, Coach Dungy. He'd give us a whole week off. But for the most part, these other coaches ain't really – I think Gruden might have gave us the whole week off one time. But for the most part, man, like Bill and Coach Fox and all them, man, they not doing that. They going to play games with you. You play on a Sunday. Now, follow the schedule now. Right? Here's the schedule. The bye week is a whole 7 days from Sunday to Sunday. You don't play. But we will play on a Sunday. We done. We come in early Monday morning to get whatever we need to get in terms of training, watch the film, work out, whatever. We're done on Monday, call it midday. Tuesday, you have off, NFL rules. We're back on Wednesday. We're back on Thursday. We're back on Friday. But we're not out of – we come in late. Check this out, though. Trip this out. We come in later on Friday, though. Instead of coming in at 8 in the morning, he'll tell us to come in at 11:30 on Friday, and we don't get out till 6:30 on Friday. And then he finally –
he's just messing with you guys.
But he finally going to tell you the schedule on Thursday – but you're not getting out until 6:30 on Friday. So you don't even have time to book the flight because you got to be back on Monday morning at 8 o'clock to do nothing except run, and then you're off on Tuesday to start the week preparing for the game. So what I would do is, you know, I was cool with a couple of the coaches, so I might ask like a Mo Carton, like, Mo, man, what's up with the schedule? Mo said, man, he ain't told us yet. Or I might hit up a Todd Haley. Todd, man, just tell me. I ain't going to tell nobody. And Todd might be like, he's giving you off 7 o'clock starting on Friday, but you got to be back at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. It's like, well, I can't go no damn where.
Isn't it mad? I mean, look, I get that this social component is important. You want to go take a trip. You want to get away from it all. I get it. But what about just your body? Just not having to play a game. Not having to go out there and take
you
the
still,
hits.
You still running and working. And
yeah, but you're not getting hit.
It doesn't matter, but you working. You ain't out there with no lawn chairs with cigars in your mouth. You actually out there working. Like your body is putting miles on them feet. Like they, you know them tracking devices they use now to track the mileage on players and all that sort of stuff? Mm-hmm. Imagine if they'd have used that when we was under Parcells. Playing for Bill, you might as well equate that to dog years. I mean, it's like that. You play 10 years with him, feel like you played 15. A practice was an actual game with this man. I mean, there was no let-up.
So your time in Tampa, Key, was the last time that Tampa was relevant on a national stage, at least from a television product goes, because this is where Tom Brady signing in Tampa was not just a football thing. The football thing is going to be fascinating in and of itself. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be on 5 primetime games this season. The 2020 season, Tampa will play 5 primetime games. In the previous 15 years, They've only had 17. And keep in mind, you have to get a Thursday night game. That's just the rule that every team gets a Thursday night game. So basically, they've gotten the league minimum over the last decade and a half. And now all of a sudden, Tom Brady's there. They get five. That's why they signed Tom Brady as much as anything else.
Yeah, you get five. You get five big time games. And the thing is when Tampa's rolling, the city's rolling. It's hype. It's fun. Del Mabry is great. Kennedy Boulevard. I mean, you get to do a lot of things down there when they rolling. So I would think that they're going to be a really good football team with a lot of interest. Tom Brady's in the building, you know, and so it's good to see that they're back on the map. It just needs to turn into W's for them.
Yeah, you know, it's always fun when a named guy, whether it's Tom Brady or Brett Favre in New York, obviously Joe Montana in Kansas City, it's always fun to see how this great experiment works out. And it's no surprising at all because of the curiosity that a team like Tampa is going to get all this national love. But I'm curious as to how much flexing is going to happen if they actually are indeed rolling.
It's going to be a lot of flexing. I mean, it's going to be flexing.
Because they already got five.
Typically, the only team – so when these quarterbacks change, I can only point to two quarterbacks that's turned the team into something where you go, like, damn, he still can play. Joe Montana and Brett Favre with the Minnesota Vikings. Those are the only two that I can think of that left their teams at toward the end of their careers when teams didn't, you know, for whatever reason, that they left the teams and went to a new team, and both of them got their teams within a touchdown or so from going to the Super Bowl. That was Brett Favre of the Minnesota Vikings and Joe Montana of the Kansas City Chiefs. If Tom Brady can get them cooking like a lot of people expect for him to do, then – it's going to be some pounding on my chest. That's for sure.
No, I mean, look, even if it doesn't work, even if he falls into the category key of all the other guys that at the end of their career went somewhere else and it didn't work, Tampa got a short-term win in the sense that their brand, their team is going to be front and center for a couple of seasons. If nothing else, they're going to sell gear. They're going to do – it was a home run regardless of what happens to the football.
Yeah, it is an economic play to a degree, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Glazer family – didn't necessarily sign Tom Brady to sell more jerseys and get a percentage of that. They signed Tom Brady to get the Big Apple, and the Big Apple is getting to the Super Bowl.
All right, the Rams have five primetime games. DeMarco Farr will join us next to go through the Rams' schedule. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, there you go. DeMarco Farr, the Super Bowl champ, is joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. The NFL schedule dropped last night. DeMarco, good morning. How are things?
Good, man. How are you guys doing? You guys staying safe?
Yeah, we're staying
doing our best.
I heard that. Time? Yeah, man. I need a haircut like nobody's business. I'm serious. I'm glad we're doing this on radio.
Is this the first time, DeMarco, that we've had you on since we've been on lockdown?
I think so.
I think maybe once in between, Travis, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe right at the very beginning, DeMarco, but it's been 6-7 weeks for sure.
Okay, yeah, so with that being said, you said you need a haircut. Are you big up time or down right now? Are you a wide receiver or are you a retired defensive tackle?
What do you mean? As far as what? Weight wise?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a gym in the garage, man. That's never gonna ease up. But
well, I mean, because sometimes you know, because when you think about it, some people could come out of here looking great, and somebody could come out of these things looking real. Got to get back in there. That's all. I'm just.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. I just. What did I just read? Lizzo gained 40 pounds in a month and a half. So it is.
Well,
oh no.
let's leave that right there.
Yeah, let's move forward on with that one.
Wow. Adele went the other way. She lost 40 pounds.
Maybe she gave it to Lizzo.
All right, let's leave Lizzo and Adele off to the side for a second. DeMarco, when you saw the Rams schedule last night, your first thought was what?
Wow. Actually, the first thought was looking at this schedule. Okay, you opened with Dallas, and that's always tough. That always brings more notoriety than the game is worth. So it's like a mini bowl game to start off. And then you got to go to Philly, to Buffalo. So that's tough. East Coast swing early. And then the one with the tough one. I'm sure you guys have talked about this. You got Tampa Bay on Monday night. That's different because Tom Brady's there. And then the short turnaround to San Francisco. That's going to be tough. So the first thought was even the 2018 team would have a tough time with this schedule. This is tough. This is hard. The schedule makers didn't do the Rams any favors with this. But the best thing about it was you open up with Dallas. That's going to keep your focus. That's going to help Sean McVay keep this team focused and grounded and in that mode to get ready for the biggest game of your life, week one.
DeMarco, when you look at the Rams schedule, where do you find the toughest stretch? You know, some of us think right out the gate, you know, because of the first three teams that they're facing. Others think because of the divisions are mostly loaded on the back end. Where do you find the toughest quarter for the Rams?
I think I agree with the people that think the back end. I mean, I think, you know, the NFC East is always tough, but I think it's tough early for the Rams because you have to travel. You're probably going to stay east for that Philadelphia and Buffalo, that two-game stretch there. So it's going to be tough from a travel standpoint. And then you have to go to Washington. But when you get into that back half, and, you know, I'm telling you, man, I wake up in a cold sweat thinking about how Kyler Murray is going to develop this offseason, and he's got DeAndre Hopkins down there now. So you used to chalk up two W's when you saw Arizona on the schedule. Now it's a little bit different. So you've got Seattle twice from November to December. You've got Arizona twice. I think that back half of the schedule is really, really tough.
It is a tough back half of the schedule, but I'm always of the belief it doesn't matter as long as you're compiling the W's and you win in the quarters. You know, and I think that's the important thing, to be able to get the momentum, much like the San Francisco 49ers did last year. Question with them: who are they playing? Oh, they won. Who are they playing? Oh, they won. Oh. By the time they got to the back end of the schedule, they started playing better opponents, and they were clipping them, and they wind up in the Super Bowl. And I see the same kind of thing for the Rams if they can get off to a fast start.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I still don't know what's going to happen in Dallas with Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton. I mean, that could get weird. That could affect the football team. Jared Goff still has to solve his Philadelphia Eagle problem. He's 0-2 against them. It's always rough to play in Buffalo for the Rams, for anybody. But I'm glad you're getting them in September versus December up there. So there's a lot of question marks. And I talked about that tough stretch between Tampa and San Francisco. Well, the Rams are going to benefit from that as well. I mean, you're going to face teams coming off short weeks. You're going to face teams that are a little beat up. You may get teams at the right time. So you know how this thing goes. I mean, when you see the schedule, you start looking for the tough spots. But as we get going, things you thought were tough turn easy and vice versa.
DeMarco Farr joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. DeMarco, every single season, it seems like there's a team that we think is going to be really good that isn't. And we've seen Seattle and San Francisco on the top of that division last year. If you had to pick one of those two that's more likely to backslide, who is it?
It's not going to be Kansas City. I think Kansas City is getting better. I think Mahomes is going to get nothing but better. You know, the team that I do, it's not worry about, but I have concerns about, and I hope this doesn't start, is Baltimore with Lamar Jackson and the way they use him. And it seems like they're...
Hold on. Him. Stop for a minute there. Stop.
Go ahead.
Sound like me, man. You was listening to our show yesterday?
Did you say Baltimore yesterday?
Keep going, brother. All you got to do is keep going.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, just for the same reason. I mean, every team is quarterback oriented, but I mean, Lamar Jackson he's everything to them. So if he gets winged, if he's a little bit slower, if he's, you know, if he rolls his ankle, are they the same football team? So, you know, maybe that team comes back to earth a little bit, but you know, who knows? I mean, maybe he can do it again. If not, Baltimore's going to be right back in the thick of things. But if look at Carson Wentz a few years ago, when he came here, he was the MVP, got winged, and then he had to fight for his job. So the same could happen to a mobile quarterback like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I could certainly see those sort of things happening, although they did go out and get the kid Huntley from Utah, which is somewhat of a copy of Lamar Jackson, but not quite Lamar Jackson. I think when you start to think about the Rams, though, there's a new defense that's in town. They've got a new basic secondary. They got some new players. There's no more Todd Gurley. There's no more Brandon Cooks. No offseason. Everything is virtual. First time that they'll really get a chance to lay hands and eyes on these guys in real time will be in the summer. Is that enough time for a defense to gel? Is it, you know, because I know it wouldn't be for the offense. Is it for the defense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Defense is read and react, man. I mean, it's not like offense. I'm glad you've got a guy like Jared Goff, who at least has been a starter for the past three, 4 seasons. So, I mean, he's a veteran. You can add, you don't have to change your terminology. There's no new thinking. On defense, man, you can go into it with half your playbook and still dominate. You don't need a bunch of stuff early on in the season. All you need to be is a pursuing football team that rallies to the football, and then you can start to add, say, late October into November. By December, you're a completely different defense than you were in September, but at least you hit the ground running. So, yeah, I mean, I think defensively, you could strip it down and have two fronts, two calls, and go out there and attack anybody with good pursuit, but and then start to add from there. So defense catching up, I have no problem with. If you're trying to catch up offensively early, I think you've got no chance in this league.
DeMarco Farr joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. DeMarco, let me ask you this.
LZ got a mud in his house?
Yeah. That is not my dog. My dog does not sound like that. That sounds like your dog, Key.
Wow. I don't have a dog, so I know it's not me. How about that?
It's not me.
DeMarco, we haven't had a chance yet to talk to you post-draft. I'm just curious as to whether or not there was a move made that kind of shocked you as far as the Rams concerned. Like, you would have thought they would have gone one direction versus another.
The first pick, the running back, I think that speaks volumes. And this is going to be interesting. I think he's a fantastic running back, Cam Akers. I think he's going to be a fantastic addition to a Sean McVay offense, and he's going to work well within the committee. Because until somebody establishes themselves as the lead guy, I think that was great. But this will be fun to see how the Rams running game matches up to what Todd Gurley is doing in Atlanta. Maybe he pulls a Jerome Bettis, where he goes to a different spot and becomes Lazarus and resurrects himself and becomes that back that you used to know. So we'll see. I thought that pick was kind of interesting, kind of a, like, wow, you know, maybe.
Man, what you running, a canine service over there?
Just a pick. Good Lord.
Sounds like somebody like breeding canines or something.
Well, my rock doesn't like Baskerville. He doesn't like certain people getting too close to the house. So I suspect somebody's on their morning walk, and Rufus is letting them know this ain't the house to walk to.
Certain people. We can talk about those certain people.
Yeah, I understand
all
what that means. I understand that. DeMarco Farr, the Super Bowl champion, joining us here. Thanks, DeMarco. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Hey, all right. I said, what's up?
All right.
All right. Somebody is changing their tune about what sort of job they're going to accept. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Yeah.
Pretty good choice, LZ. If your choice is one of the few video games that's been turned into a movie, you've done a pretty good job.
Well, I'm leading in the polls right now by 43%, so I'm feeling good right now. That my last
You're
pick
leading
the draft,
by 43%.
No, he has 42%.
Yeah,
yes.
Come on, man. Now, see, these dudes, people. A typical journalist.
Give me the numbers.
Yeah, man, please.
I thought I said at 43%. Not
no,
by.
No, you didn't say at.
43%. Jorge, play the sound.
What are the other numbers? If you've got 43, what does Key have? What do I have?
Keyshawn's at 35%. And Travis, after you tried to steal the election early on, you're down to 22%.
I'm going to make a rally. My people vote late in the day. We'll be fine. We'll come back around. Key, is this news or is this just somebody saying what we've all been saying? Ian Rappaport says that, I'm going to read you a tweet that he sent out. Free agent quarterback Cam Newton has not ruled out a backup quarterback job in the right situation, I'm told. He wants to be and should be a starter, but he's open to being a backup. Does that mean that Cam is putting it out there that, hey, make some offers because what you think I might not have been into, I might be into now?
It's the same message that's being said for the longest. It's just being said different by Ian Rappaport. That's all. It's the same message. There's no teams out there that he can walk into that makes sense for him to be a starting quarterback. So, therefore, you have to find a team that has a quarterback that's kind of that they're not really sure on, that he has to come in as the number two guy and they pull the hook on, like a I don't know who it would be. It could have been a Chicago, but they traded for a guy that they were familiar with. One of those type of situations. It couldn't be a Jared Goff because, again, as we talked about before, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Jared Goff. Therefore, it puts a lot of pressure on the organization and the brain trust. If something goes wrong, then all of a sudden Cam is sitting there. It has to be one of those type situations. Yeah, another situation that could potentially be a good one for him could be like the Pittsburgh Steelers, for instance, right? You sign him, Ben Roethlisberger. He's not 100% healthy. He's banged up. Now, all of a sudden, you're Cam, or he's playing very, very bad. But the problem is they just gave Ben a whole bunch of money. So it's kind of like you got to find the right spot that makes the right sense. If you want to call him a backup, call him a backup. Whatever you want to make it sound so that you get your little sugars off, whatever. He just needs to find a team that the guy that's there isn't going to be there too long and he could take over. That's what he's looking for.
Well, I wish him well. And I still wish that he was in
LA. Because it just
LA.
Ain't no teams. It's just not no team. Like, you can't find a team that fits, right? I mean, you just – where is there one?
There's certainly not an obvious one. There is not an obvious one with the – maybe I mean, the I, exception. I and as we get further into it, maybe the Chargers come back around. And again, because of the pandemic, because we're all at home and the teams can't get together – it's hard to evaluate Justin Herbert. Let's say that Tyrod Taylor is your guy and you start to get together and you realize that Justin Herbert's a ways away. Maybe you readdress the Cam thing there, because as far as fit goes, that still seems to be the only one that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I'm just, you know, now that I thought about it, Pittsburgh, I wonder if
Pittsburgh makes sense.
Pittsburgh makes sense, but they gave Ben a bunch of money a year ago. And then he
checked out for injury.
Yeah, but he's been, you know, he gets those injuries every now and then where things, you know, something comes up. But it's one of those, if he goes and he comes out and he struggles, are they willing to move on from Big Ben at some point in time? You know, because I can't think of another team.
Big Ben's got a whole lot of Brett Favre last year's and the Packers going for him. Constantly talking about walking away. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure this might be it. Some decline in performance, a little bit of injuries. Obviously, he missed a great chunk last year, but just in general, to Key's point, he's prone to be injury prone now as the years have gone on. Pittsburgh makes so much sense to me. Plus, I just like Tomlin getting a hold of someone that the league has says we're good. And not that the league has said that Cam can't play, because he obviously can, but clearly no one's clamoring to sign him. I like the idea of Mike Tomlin coming in and having the opportunity to say, all right, let me show you something.
It's not that no one's clamoring to sign. It's just there's nowhere to go. Like, you know, if you say, well, what about New England? New England doesn't like that style. That's not what they look for. They don't want to build their offense around that.
There's a variety of reasons why no one's clamoring. There's a variety of reasons. You're given a reason, but that doesn't take away from the end result.
He's still not.
But see, I don't know what the variety of reasons are other than the right fit.
Go back to the Steelers for a second, Key. Mm-hmm. Would Ben? Let's assume that Mike Tomlin wants to do it. That Cam Newton would be willing to take on a backup role in Pittsburgh. Would Ben Roethlisberger be comfortable with that? Remember when they drafted Mason Rudolph? The whole thing about Mason Rudolph sent him around the bend. You got an MVP looking over your shoulder? I can't imagine he digs that.
If he was to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, it would be a wrap for Big Ben. Big Ben better win the Super Bowl. I'm just saying that if he was to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, that would be a wrap. Because the moment that he starts to see, when you start signing a guy like Cam, putting him behind a struggling quarterback, an injury-prone quarterback, you're saying to that guy, we can't tolerate you for the long haul anymore. Now, if he was to go sign Andy Dalton, you just like, oh, okay, well, he's a guy that is a serviceable backup. You sign Fitzpatrick, it's a serviceable backup. But when you sign a guy like Cam Newton, now all of a sudden, uh-oh, this is different. And so that would be – that would create – Some you know, a little bit of problematic tension in the building, but I'm sure Coach Tomlin can handle it. And I wouldn't be shocked or surprised. Now, he ain't getting it from me. I ain't got it from nobody else. I'm just guessing. I wouldn't be surprised if that starts to leak out into the universe at some point here soon.
Very quickly, very quickly. Is Cam Newton on a roster week one?
I think he is. I think he is. I think he is.
Something's going to shake loose. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to make a decision. an all-schedule version of Take It or Shake It coming up next on the morning show, 710 ESPN. All right, Key, let's start with the week one of the NFL schedule. The Dallas Cowboys are coming to Los Angeles to open SoFi Stadium against the Rams. Andy Dalton will be the Cowboys starting quarterback in week one. Take It or Shake It.
Shake it.
They'll get it done.
Yeah, of course. They're not going into the regular season with Andy Dalton as they start quarterback, man. Stop it.
Why not? It's
because they're going to sign this guy. It's going to get done.
The way they were going to sign Emmitt Smith and had to start with a different running back?
Yeah, but they learned from that, too. They learned from that. They wind up giving him money after going 0-2, and they're not going to do it. They can't be in the building. So they're not working with. There's nothing they could do right now.
The Zoom calls, it's
not the same, LZ. Zoom calls ain't the same as being there in person, touching a dude. I mean, it's different. They don't play it until September. They don't play it until September. We're now in the beginning of May. You know, yeah, do the math.
I hear you. There's still lots of runway left, but we've been saying this is going to get done for over a year now,
And it went from no contract to a contract proposal, to another contract proposal, to no conversations, to conversations again, to where we are today. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He's going to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
Even week one, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's go to the next one.
What do we
here.
Get if you're wrong? Do we get some cake or something? I want some cake.
Check this out. You're going to have to come get it.
All right, let's go to the next one here. Arizona, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals come to the Coliseum, or I should say SoFi Stadium, on December 6th. The Cardinals will be at 500 in the month of December. Take it or shake it.
Oh, I didn't look at the schedule. You said month of December. Shake it, man.
They're right there.
But they're not there. You know, they're that team that's going to fight to the end. And it's, you know, that field goal wide right, that interception late, that I had to pick but I dropped it late. Dang, we bailed them out. They scored on us. That's where they're going to be. They're going to be that team that looks good. Oh, man, they look good. They're exciting. Man, Kyler Murray's running around. He's throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. They lose by 10. Oh, man, oh, God, DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, they're running the ball. They're doing this. Oh, my God, Kenyon Drake. They lose by 3. Oh, my God. Oh, Kyler Murray spins out of it. He throws it deep. Oh, DeAndre Hopkins goes up. Larry Fitzgerald tips it. He scores. Holding for 75 on the offense. That's what they're going to be. They're going to be that team that gets about 7 wins this year, and you can see where they're going to start to be a decent team down the line. But I believe Cliff Kingsbury won't see it through. I don't believe that he's going to see the finished product. Did you see his house?
Pretty nice.
He's got to stick around for the house alone.
After so many years.
The scenario you just described is exactly what happened to them this year.
Yeah, and it's going to happen to them again. And then again. And then they're going to say, man, this ain't working. I'm just telling you. But you ain't got to listen to me. I don't know nothing.
They're going to lose a couple of games like you described for sure, Key, but do you think that they're also going to clip a couple of people that you don't expect them to get, that they're going to beat some good teams too?
I don't know that they built like that. I don't know that they're built to beat good teams. I know they're built to harass some teams and make them feel a certain way, but I don't know that they're built to beat those teams. I understand that DeAndre Hopkins is the guy, but you've got to give him the football, which means you're taking the ball away from other people. You've got to justify that trade and that pay day that's coming to him. You've got to justify that. You okay, can't justify that with three catches.
All right, let's go to the next one here. The New England Patriots come to SoFi Stadium for a Thursday night game on December 10th. The New England Patriots will be in first place in the AFC East when they come to L.A. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
All right, he still believes in Bill.
Yeah, I still believe in Bill, man. Until they show me something different, I don't panic about them at all.
You don't think that Buffalo could be on the top of that division heading into the last month?
I think Buffalo will be right there, but something tells me that Bill will scare the Buffalo Bills with his coaching tactics. All of a sudden, he'll bamboozle somebody in the middle of the year on a trade. They'll give up their top player, not even realizing they trading their top player for a guy that get cut 2 years from now. And Bill will have the guy, and I did it again. I mean, it's just certain guys got magic, man. And he's one of those guys that have displayed that over the years. So until we see something different, we can't go against it.
I mean, some of that magic is down in Tampa now, though.
Some.
We think.
Yeah.
Right? We
of
think.
Course.
I mean, but haven't you ever heard of recreating magic?
Mm-mm. No.
Doesn't happen very often.
That's why you renew your vows.
You got a couple kids. You recreated some magic.
You're creating problems. That's problems.
Yeah. Anyway, that's another topic for another day. Let's go to October 26th. That is a Monday night football game. The Chicago Bears against the L.A. Rams. Nick Foles will be the Bears' starting quarterback when they come to play L.A.
Take it. Nick Foles is the Bears' starting quarterback.
already.
Yeah, he's already. That's done. They just ain't said it. They didn't pick up Mitch Trubisky's fifth-year option, so that means he's on the streets automatically. They may even cut bait with him doing training camp, man. You know, that's one of those set you up for failure. Matt Nagy, it has some familiarity with Nick Foles from his days in Kansas City. It's the same offense for the most part as Kansas City and Philadelphia. They've all been together. It's the same circle of friends. Andy Reid has blessed it. Told Matt Nagy, you need to start Nick Foles. You should go get him. He said, you're right. He went and got him. That's the big circle, man. It's over with. Mitch Trubisky might as well start packing to look to become a backup somewhere.
Week one, Foles has got that job.
Week one, Foles is a starting quarterback.
All right, let's go to the last one here. Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do not play a cold weather game all season long. That is a huge reason why Tom Brady is in Tampa and not in New England. Take it or shake it.
Wait, they don't play a cold weather game?
Nope. They do not have a cold weather game. You look at the back half of their schedule when the weather would be cold. They play at Detroit. It's inside. They play at Carolina on November 15th. That's North Carolina. Everything else is either at home or in the West Coast.
Hmm. Well, that could be a take it.
Oh, it could be.
Plus the weather. I mean, it's a number of factors that made him go to Tampa Bay. I mean, it's a number of factors. I mean, the plan for him to go, if I go, you're going to think about coming out of retirement, Gronk, let's just do this. All those conversations took place a long time ago. You can't believe that all of a sudden Gronk decided to, a week after Brady announced he's getting a signing with the Bucks, that, oh, I'm going to come out of retirement. That's been planned so long ago. And it just looked at the roster, looked at the team, seen Mike Evans, seen Godwin, understands the running game, seen the defense and Ty Bowles. And he's like, you know, man, this might be the best fit for me.
Would the weather be a bigger advantage for Gronk or for Brady?
I don't really even think it's going to matter, because they both have played in garbage weather in Boston. So it's not – they're portable. They can go to Green Bay for the playoffs in January and be fine. It's the rest of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that you got to worry about, not this two.
You said it took you guys a while to kind of get – over that when you were in Tampa going to those places at first, you had to learn Philadelphia in particular.
Man, Philadelphia, Chicago, Green Bay, that stuff wasn't nothing nice. Even going to Minnesota and playing in the dome, you want to go get something to eat, you got to go outside the hotel, walk down the street. It's like, man, it's cold. You get a block, your ears feel like it's getting ready to fall off.
All right, the Rams' schedule is out. It is backloaded with division games. We're going to go through it game by game. Key's going to give us a one-loss record for 2020. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.